Hello, church. Welcome to worship on this beautiful day. My name is Wendy Neal, and I am the Senior Associate Pastor. It is so good to be worshiping with you and to proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. We continue today with our sermon series called Together That the World May Know. We will hear today about our shared witness of healing and how it makes such a difference in this world. We have a great service today, and so let us begin by singing our opening hymn together, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Please join me in the call to worship litany. Though we may be inclined to brag, let us come together with humility. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. Though we may be tempted to use harsh words, let us come together with gentleness. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. Though we may want everything to happen quickly, let us come together with patience. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. Though the world around often encourages hate, let us come together in love. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity, in humility, gentleness, patience, love, and unity. Let us worship the God who has called us together.
McFarland, and everyone who worships with us, you know that our world of people and systems now and always is in need of forgiveness, redemption, and healing. And by our ministries and our gifts, we offer the healing grace of God for hearts and homes nearby, and for a world of hurt and pain. Thank you for the way your faithfulness restores relationships and rekindles hope in so many places and by so many means. Each of us may continue to give through our McFarland mobile app, through our website, mcfarlandumc.org/giving, by automatic giving or by mail, of course. And now let us turn our hearts toward God as we pray. Almighty, all-loving God, we praise you for your healing strength, for the way you can make it well with our souls, even when we ache and suffer. We praise you that your Spirit lives in us and in your church. Listen to the songs of our hearts and the prayers of our souls. We long to abide in you, and we desire that you live in us. Forgive us, O God, for the times and ways that we have been self-absorbed and have spent our time mainly for ourselves. Forgive us for the ways that we have hurt someone or damaged a relationship. May your grace be the remedy for our sometimes sin-sick souls. Today, for anyone who is hurting or struggling, those we name in our thoughts, send your healing and restorative grace. Open our thoughts to notice your activity in the world. Open our hearts to the particular people who live close to us. Pour out your wisdom upon us for living, for loving, for working, for healing, and for learning. And like the sun and moon that shine, and like the wind and rivers that flow, bathe us, O God, in your grace. Cleanse us by your mercy. Enlighten us with your wisdom and empower us by the energy of your Spirit. Hear, O Lord, the deep yearnings of each of our lives and our life together, as in the name of Jesus we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Times get rough.
The scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20. Listen now for the word of God. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O holy God, we give you thanks for your word and for your apostle Paul, who spoke so much about love and forgiveness and just the joy of living life with you. And so, God, open our hearts and our minds and our ears today to receive whatever it is that you will say to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have to ask, are there people in your life that you wish you didn't have to deal with? Those who you dread to run into at the store, or those you have to spend time with on a holiday, maybe those who will be in that meeting that you have coming up, or those who, because of life's circumstances, are just always going to be around. Those who, you know, when you see them, or even when you just think of them or hear their name, it causes maybe your blood pressure to rise or your stomach to turn in knots, or that leads you just to take a deep breath and to count to 10 before engaging with them. Those who make you wonder how serious Jesus was when he said that we have to forgive trespasses and pray for our enemies and love one another. Say, God, do I really have to pray for this guy or forgive her or love them? Surely Jesus didn't mean them. Now, I'm sure that you have no idea what I am talking about, but Paul knew what I am talking about all too well because of all of the places and all of the people that Paul went to in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The Christians in Corinth were those people for Paul. He had a good experience in the city of Corinth the first time that he went. The church he planted was filled with people who were dear to his heart, and though the Corinthians were a feisty group loaded with potential problems, Paul loved them. And even after leaving Corinth, he prayed for them every day. And so it must have hurt him deeply to learn that in Corinth, his reputation had been shattered. After Paul left, there were some naysayers who came to town and they called Paul into question. They disputed his credentials, claiming that he had no right to call himself an apostle. They alleged that Paul was a money grubber and a charlatan whose motives were impure and whose so-called gospel was just a lot of hogwash and heresy. And on Paul's second visit to Corinth, some of the believers there actually said as much to his face. Oh, what a mess. It was going to take a lot more than taking a deep breath and counting to 10 to repair this relationship. You know, if you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you can actually see and hear how much Paul and the Corinthians' relationship had declined over time. And I don't know if Paul ever considered it, but if I were him, I would have seriously considered washing my hands of them. You know, he had sent Titus to them, and so it would have been really easy for Paul to say, you know what, Titus, you take this group. I'm not going to get anywhere with them, and so I am done. I'm not going to write them anymore. I'm not going to visit them anymore. I want them to come to faith in Christ. I want them to support the church in Jerusalem. God bless them. I am not going to put up with their accusations and negativity anymore. You deal with them. I'm done. You know, I don't think anyone would have blamed Paul if he had done that. You know, putting up that armor and protecting yourself from further harm is a natural human response when you've been knocked down and hurt by others. And I am sure that you are familiar with Dr. Brené Brown and her work on vulnerability and courage. She gave a TED Talk a number of years ago that became one of the most viewed TED Talks ever, and she's written lots of books. She's been all over TV and the internet recently. And she often quotes Teddy Roosevelt's Man in the Arena speech, which says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly." You know, Brown says that we all get knocked down in life. We all experience failures personally and professionally. We all have rifts in our relationships. And when that happens, our tendency is to find ways to protect ourselves from being hurt and diminished and disappointed again. And she says we put on armor. We use our thoughts and our emotions and our behaviors as weapons. And we learn how to make ourselves scarce, even to disappear. But the problem with doing that is that we cut ourselves off from people. And the feelings of anger and resentment and unworthiness and shame, they don't go away. Putting on armor makes it really hard for us to mend what is broken. She says that what we have to do to live with courage and purpose and connection, to be the person who we long to be, and I would say the person who God created us to be, is that we must again be vulnerable. We must take off the armor and put down the weapons and show up and let ourselves be seen. You know, it takes a lot of courage to stay in the arena with people who knock you down. It takes a lot of emotional energy to try to get back up and to mend a broken relationship. And there is great risk in showing up and sharing your feelings and staying engaged. And when we're not sure whether it's worth the risk to do that, and that's when we start to ask God when we really have to do that hard stuff that Jesus told us to do. because loving and forgiving and staying connected with those people we find challenging, it can lead to hurt and rejection and fear all over again. And we don't want that. But here's the rub. Loving and forgiving and staying connected with those people we find challenging can also lead to joy and freedom and peace and love. And so, yes, there is risk, but there is also reward. You see, C.S. Lewis, that great theologian and author of the Narnia books, wrote about why it's sometimes so hard to risk mending our relationships and staying connected. He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And because choosing to love and forgive and connect with those whom we find challenging is risky, it takes a lot of courage. And it took a lot of courage for Paul to write this letter to the Corinthians, and even more courage to go and visit them again in person after the way that he was treated before. You know, Paul often confuses me and surprises me, and he always challenges me to consider more deeply what it means to be a follower of Christ and to live according to the example of Jesus. You know, Paul could have easily walked away from the Corinthians, but he didn't. He couldn't. And the passage that we hear today from chapter 5 tells us why. Because in these 5 verses, Paul explains that he is not who he used to be because of Jesus. He didn't always see things the way that he does now. In fact, there was a time when he even viewed Christ differently. He once saw Christ as a criminal rather than a Messiah, but not so now. Before his experience with Jesus, he dedicated his life to persecuting Jesus' followers. He says he was the greatest sinner of all. But Paul says that he now views people differently because he is now in Christ. Christ has viewed him differently. That is, he is in union with Christ. He is one with him, identified with Christ in his death, in resurrection. And so Paul is this new creation, he says. He is a new being. That in Christ, he's become a part of the new order of things. He's a new creature. The old has gone, and the new has come. And this is all God's doing. And it's by means of reconciliation. It is through God's healing of what was broken that Paul can say these things. That God, he took this rebellious humanity and restored the broken relationships that exist between him and his creation. And God did this through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And what Paul is basically saying to the Corinthians is, I cannot and I will not give up on you because God did not give up on you. And God did not give up on me. And God did not give up on humanity, even though we have fallen really short of God's will. God could have easily washed his hands of us. But instead, God chose to save us and to mend what is broken by sending Jesus to change our hearts and to teach us how to live. And Paul is telling them, life is so much better when we forgive one another, when we heal our hurts, and when we choose to stay connected. You know what gives us this courage to try again with people is this foundational belief that love and forgiveness are the answers to our struggles, that love and forgiveness are what save us. And we can trust that to be true because of the love and forgiveness shown by God through his son, Jesus. You know, in this passage, Paul is both appealing to the Corinthians to put aside their differences with him and to heal their relationship. And he is proclaiming the most profound and universal truth of the gospel, that God is a God who saves, who heals what is broken, who brings back together those who are estranged, and who restores peace. And because we are God's children and followers of Christ, we are to model this kind of healing so that the whole world may know that healing and peace really are possible. You know, healing is the end goal for mending a relationship that has been broken. And we can't get to healing our relationships without forgiveness. You know, we talk about forgiveness a lot in the church because forgiveness is a common topic in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We pray every week that our trespasses would be forgiven and that we would be able to forgive those who trespass against us, just as Jesus taught us. Forgiveness is a vital part of our lives lived together. And so we talk about it a lot. But I think that forgiveness is one of the hardest things for us to do as human beings. You know, what I've heard and what I can verify from my own experience is that it is one thing to understand what forgiveness is and what it isn't. That forgiveness is a process of letting go of the anger and the guilt and the shame that weighs us down, and that it is not a process of excusing or forgetting wrongs that have been committed. And it is helpful to have an outlined process in order to even know how to begin to forgive. Desmond and his daughter, Mpo Tutu, in their book of forgiving, they say that forgiveness involves telling our story, naming the hurts, being able to forgive, and then renewing or releasing the relationship. And so it is one thing to understand what forgiveness is, but it is completely another thing to actually be able to walk that emotional path. Completely another thing to even be able to speak of the hurt and the shame that we feel. Now, forgiveness is hard, and it doesn't come naturally for most of us. And so, as Christians, when we hear Jesus tell us that we must forgive and seek forgiveness, we struggle with what all of that requires of us and whether we can even do it. And so that's why we call forgiveness a process, because it's not something that just happens. It takes time, sometimes a whole lifetime, just to be able to tell the story and to name the hurt. You know, and just as we need to learn how to forgive others, we also need to learn how to seek forgiveness from others and from ourselves. You know, we have all done things that we are not proud of, things that have hurt others. And they may be things like insulting someone or not telling the truth or losing our temper. Or there may be things like cheating on a spouse or acting out in violence towards someone. You know, we have all fallen short of the glory of God in one way or another. And so we all need to acknowledge the hurt that we've caused, and we need to seek forgiveness so that we can begin to heal the guilt and the shame and the broken relationships that we live with every day. You know, Tutu says, he says, the simple truth is that we all make mistakes, and we all need forgiveness. There is no magic wand that we can wave to go back in time and change what has happened or undo the harm that has been done. But we can do everything in our power to set right what has been made wrong. We can endeavor to make sure the harm never happens again. And the first steps in trying to set things right are admitting the wrong and saying, "I am sorry." There is great power in those three little words when spoken sincerely, whether you are the one who is saying them or whether you are the one hearing them. And Tutu says, "I am sorry" can be a bridge between nations and spouses and friends and enemies. "I am sorry" is that bridge over troubled waters. There is healing in speaking those words. That is what forgiveness is all about. Healing. Healing ourselves and healing the world that we live in. And whether we stand in need of forgiveness or face that difficult path of forgiving someone else, it is all about saying that we want to mend the brokenness. We don't want to continue living with the pain and the shame and the guilt and the anger. And we may not know exactly what to do. We just know that we can't stay the same. We can't continue to feel the way that we feel. And so we take that courageous step toward forgiveness. You know, I marvel sometimes at our nature as human beings, because we are both incredibly strong and incredibly fragile at the same time. We so easily and often hurt one another. And yet, just as our words and actions have great capacity to harm, they also have this amazing ability to heal. You know, it is so ironic that we open ourselves up to being hurt by others by living in community with one another. And yet it is with others in community where we find the strength and the courage to keep going. You know, Tutu reminds us that none of us journeys through life unscathed by tragedy or disappointment, betrayal or heartbreak, but each of us has at our disposal a most powerful skill that lessens the pain. That this skill can, when given the chance, it can win over an enemy, it can heal a marriage, it can stop a fight, and on a global scale, even end a war. When you set out to change the world, the job seems insurmountable. But each of us can do a small part to affect change. We change the world when we choose to create a world of forgiveness in our own hearts and minds. It is our nature to forgive and to reconcile and rebuild the broken pieces of our relationship. And every hand that extends itself in a gesture of forgiveness is a hand working toward the creation of peace in the world. Now, we can't create a world without pain or loss or conflict or hurt feelings, but we can create a world of forgiveness. We can create a world of forgiveness that allows us to heal from those losses and pain and repair our relationships. Our witness to the love of Jesus Christ in this world is so much stronger when we live together and we say that we're not perfect and we make mistakes, but we choose to love one another anyway. We choose to say, "I'm sorry," when we've done wrong. We choose to forgive. The gospel truth is that God hasn't given up on us. And so we can't give up on each other. We need each other. We are so much better together. And this kind of witness of forgiving the wrongs and mending the wounds and staying connected is not ever easy. But it may just be the most powerful and important witness that we can offer our hurting world. And so let us pray. Oh God, we give you so much thanks that you continue to be our God and to love us and to offer us mercy and forgiveness, even when we have not been our best. And God, we are so grateful for that. And we just ask you for the courage to be your ambassadors in this world, people who do not give up on one another, but who truly seek out forgiveness and mending the hurts and healing this world. And so, God, give us that courage. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us in worship today as we are reminded that healing and peace really is possible and that God gives us the means and the courage to be able to forgive and to love even when it's challenging. So go forth today, brothers and sisters in Christ, to take that message to the world. Go forth with forgiveness and grace. Go forth with compassion and love. And go forth with all of these things so that the world may know that they really are possible. Go in peace. Amen.